I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding victory over codependency. I'm currently working on fear, and my name is Maggie. I came to celebrate recovery 8 years ago when my family was in crisis. I learned my daughter was abusing alcohol, and I came here to learn something like the five easy fixes for fixing somebody else. Instead, I learned that I'm codependent and I can't fix anybody. And with God's help, all things are really possible. I was born in Portland. I grew up near the airport, and I lived in the same house until I was married for 18 years. I was one of four kids and the oldest daughter. I had a lot of responsibility growing up, helping with the house and younger children. My parents were hardworking people. They were probably low income, but I didn't realize it. Our gifts came from the goodwill, and we were just happy. My dad was not highly educated, but he was very hardworking, and he worked hard to provide for us. He was handy at building and maintaining our home. My mom was able to stay home with us until I was 14. She was creative at stretching a dollar to feed and clothe our family. She was a terrific seamstress and an organic gardener before organic was popular. My dad suffered from mental illness, worry, and anxiety. It was hard for him to maintain relationships outside the family. He was paranoid and he thought everyone was against him. He was always the victim. It meant he changed jobs often, had few friends, and was often in a state of upset. He had phobias about leaving the house and could only go to a few places around town. He was unable to travel outside the city most of my life. My dad functioned best when he could control his home life and things were in order. He couldn't tolerate a lot of silliness or foolishness. Chaos at home made him angry, and he was a harsh discipliner. I protected myself by keeping my belongings picked up, staying quiet, staying under the radar, and keeping my feelings to myself. It was easier to cooperate with my dad than it was to question him. We were taught respect for adults, and we were raised with discipline. I had a fear of punishment, and I was careful to do the right thing, at least when my dad was looking. I feel sorry that my dad's illness was never addressed because I know he suffered terribly. I have fond memories of my dad. He could be affectionate and very funny. I never doubted his love for me. He expressed it often, but I found it hard to feel safe when he was so unpredictable. I never felt totally at ease when my dad was home. My mom worked tirelessly to care for us. My dad's illness prevented him from being much of a support to her, and she carried a big load. She tried to compensate for my dad's harsh discipline by being cheerful, even when the household was falling apart. I still have visions of my mom saying, "Happy, happy, happy, everyone be happy, just be happy." She ignored dealing with unpleasant things. I think that's called denial. She was lenient when it came to discipline, and I did take advantage of her at times. I think she tried to make up for my dad. My mom was adventurous and had a desire to travel, but my dad's inability to leave the house was very hard for her. The few times we went on an overnight trip, my dad would get sick and he'd have a stomach ache and we'd have to come home early. We took a trip to Yellowstone once and saw the entire park in one day, and we were back home in record time. And we were the butt of all the jokes in the family. I think my mom must have been overwhelmed because she was not very available to me growing up. I never remember having a heart-to-heart talk with my mom. She was busy with younger children and housework. I desperately wanted attention from her, especially in my teen years, when I had questions about boys and relationships. I was jealous of other girls whose moms were more like their best friends, going on shopping trips and having their nails done. I found it hard to feel loved by my mom. I enjoyed school and I was a good student. It was a relief to be away from my stressful home life, and I had friends there. I found it easy to please most of my teachers by working hard and being responsible, but I had a fifth grade teacher who was very harsh and strict. I felt insecure in the classroom that whole year and nervous a lot. It was too much like home, I think. I was hospitalized with unexplained stomach problems. I missed a month of school. I had a lot of health issues as a kid that were probably stress-related. I rarely had kids over to play at my house. Although it was never discussed, my dad's behavior was too unpredictable, and it would be embarrassing if he had a tantrum in front of my friends. It was a relief to be away from my home where I could relax and enjoy friends. I began to see other families and how they operated, to understand how dysfunctional my family was. I felt a sense of shame. As I entered high school, my parents divorced and my dad moved out. This was a confusing time. Although it was a relief to be without the tension I grew up with, I missed my dad and the security of the strict structure that he provided. I associated that control with love, and I desperately wanted it. My mom was now single, and she returned to work. She also began dating, and I was left home as the babysitter. My mom would get dressed up in fancy clothes and be picked up by various dates. A lot of men came in and out of our lives during those years. I would get attached to one of her male friends, and then my mom would move on to someone else. This loss, coupled with the loss of my dad in our home, was very hard for me. I grieved the breakup of my family. There was never any kind of family counseling in those days to handle our grief. We were just left to fend for ourselves while the adults were out living a new life. However, I was about to discover the answer to my loneliness. I discovered boys. I began dating at 15, and I was sexually active by 16. I was very young, and I didn't know anything about relationships except what I'd witnessed from my mom's dating life. I had several year-long relationships with boys in high school, always older than I was. I didn't know how to build a healthy relationship. I looked to older boys to provide the care and control that I craved. I was immature, clingy, demanding, and bossy, not much of a girlfriend. I imagined each of these boys would marry me and we could play house. But boys at that age are not interested in settling down. There were frequent arguments, breakups, and lots of drama. My family attended church periodically as I was growing up on holidays and special occasions. I did have a few longer stints in Sunday school, but didn't ever go long enough to understand much about the Bible. I liked going to church because the teachers were caring, and I liked treats. I know I must have heard some stories about Jesus, but I didn't catch on for many years that he died for my sins. I was curious about spiritual matters growing up, and I asked my mom once how you got to heaven. She told me you could go there if you were good enough. My dad told me you floated up there on a cloud. This was confusing, and I worried a lot about being good enough as a kid. How could I know how good enough was? I don't think my parents knew anything about how one gets to heaven. I was invited to a high school Young Life event by some classmates when I was 15, and I began hearing about Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I asked Jesus into my heart at a retreat later that year. I never shared this news with my parents because I didn't think they would understand or approve, and I was afraid they would make me stop going. I didn't belong to a church, and it wasn't until years later that I fully comprehended that my sins were completely paid for. I didn't grow much as a Christian during my teenage years, but I always knew that I was saved and would live in heaven someday, and that was a comfort to me. During my senior year of high school, my mom remarried and made plans to move us to a different area. It meant having to change schools and leave my boyfriend, who was my security blanket. When he proposed, I said yes, and we were married right after graduation. I was not mature in my faith, he was not a believer, and this was a recipe for disaster. I was excited about my new role as a homemaker. I pored over cookbooks and kept the house clean, trying to create the perfect home and family I always wanted. I thought if I could keep the perfect home, I would be loved. I expected my husband to protect and care for me. Unfortunately, we were just two kids trying to live grown-up lives, coming from broken homes, and we didn't have any skills. I was a neat freak, and he spent too much time at the bar. The fighting, arguing, and my nagging started soon after we were married, and we were divorced 2.5 years later. I was ashamed of my failure at being a wife. Newly divorced, I was lonely and confused. I didn't seem to fit in anywhere. Both my parents had remarried and had new families and new homes. I lived on my own for the first time, and it was very hard. This would have been a good time to draw closer to God and ask for his healing, but instead, I looked to the outside world for the answer to my happiness. I eventually began dating. I engaged in risky behavior, drinking, partying, and sex. I was fortunate I never got pregnant, raped, or caught driving under the influence because I put myself in some bad situations. I know now that God protected and cared for me during this time. In my quest to repackage myself and find a new identity, I took up skydiving. It gave me the attention, notoriety, and identity that I craved. I had a group of friends at the drop zone. I belonged. I was somebody. We jumped into weddings, retirement parties, and 4th of July fireworks. I had plenty of thrills, but I was never all that good at it. I landed in a tree on a farmer's property. I had to be plucked out of the tree by the fire department, and their hook and ladder truck had to come from a different city, so I was up there a long time. Ambulances came, and I made the front page of the newspaper. I found my notoriety, but it was only in the Estacada Times. The farmer's tree had to be cut down to get my parachute out, and he wasn't too happy about it. I hit more than a few fresh cow pies during landings, and that was glamorous. I finally broke an ankle, which really clipped my wings. This was not the identity I was looking for. The next year wasn't pretty as I hobbled around in casts on crutches between surgeries and x-rays. But something wonderful did come of that time. I met a stable, calm, accountant-type guy named Paul, and he was attracted to thrill seekers. I think I inspired him to live life on the edge because he proposed after only 18 days, and we were married in a fever. We built a family, we raised our daughters, and I still love him more than ever after 41 years. Besides that, who else would put up with me? That's all to back there. I did talk him into one parachute jump, but he didn't think the pain was worth the thrill. And I can tell you that opposites do attract. As I became a wife and a new mother, I was extremely happy with my little family. I could finally play house. I had a place. I belonged. This was my opportunity to do the right thing this time. I poured myself into raising our girls and making a home for them, but my old insecurities still remained. I needed to maintain order. My two girls were well-dressed and always well-behaved. The house was clean, homework was done before play, and everything had to be in order before I could fall asleep at night. I wasn't a pleasant wife or a mother. I nagged. My perfectionism took a toll on my family and my health. I began suffering from anxiety, headaches, and migraines. Through those early struggles, the Holy Spirit began working on me, and I found my way back to the Lord. We began attending church as a family. I was involved in Bible studies, and our girls were learning in Sunday school. I loved God, and I wanted to please Him. Our family was in church at every opportunity, worshiping and serving in music, teaching, youth and children's ministries. I was the church treasurer. On the outside, it appeared I had a good grasp of the Bible, and I was thriving. But on the inside, I still felt broken in a need to please God. I had shame for the sinful ways I had lived in my past. And I knew that if my church friends ever knew anything about it, they'd drop me. I thought when I got my act together, I would feel worthy of God. Then I would have a real relationship with Him. It would be many years before I was able to replace this faulty thinking and fully experience God's true grace and love for me. I always thought I was a good listener. To feed my desire to connect with people, I spent hours on the phone listening to other people's problems and sad, sad stories. I thought if being Susie Homemaker wasn't my thing, I must be meant to counsel people. I seemed to attract people with problems, and I felt very important giving advice. I could charge in on my white horse and rescue the hurting. I could be the hero. I now had my purpose in life. After all, doesn't the Bible tell us to be long-suffering? Aren't we to love the unlovely? Well, I desperately needed the unlovely to fuel my ego and my need for self-importance. I had my own counseling service, and I didn't even have a degree. I would spend hours listening to people, often at the expense of my own family. At times, I felt like a prisoner held captive on the phone by someone, but it made me feel very important to have people trust me. I got a high off of other people's problems. The burden of others' problems was taking a further toll on my health. I was now having anxiety and sleeplessness. 8 years ago, we came to a crisis point in our family when we discovered that our daughter was an alcoholic. All my counseling and advising of my friends couldn't save my daughter from her destructive alcohol abuse and suicide attempts. I read books. I tried to control her behavior. I took care of her children. I made excuses for her, covered for her, paid her rent, fixed her car, and I tried to always protect her from any kind of stress, but nothing could seem to keep her from relapse. Through family counseling, I began hearing about this concept of codependency. I read a list of self-diagnostic questions. Do you feel responsible for the actions of others? Do you feel compelled to help others before considering your own needs? Do you easily get depressed, lethargic, or sick when you help others? Are you experiencing symptoms of stress, headache, stomach upsets, sleeplessness? Well, the list went on for about 4 pages, and I could answer yes to every one of them. I knew I needed help, and I found my way to Celebrate Recovery. It took me a little while to feel comfortable sharing in a small group. I was afraid others would recognize my insecurities and that if I ever started crying, I'd probably never stop, and I haven't. After a year, I joined a step study. I think the timing was right, and I had suffered long enough. In my step study, I found a group of ladies whom I could trust with all my hurts, who would still love me despite my brokenness. My sponsor provided wisdom and balance when I faltered. She encouraged me, kept me on task, and she would not let me quit. Being able to open up about the insecurities of my childhood was very freeing. I examined my past and my need for control. I began learning to take care of myself and to let others solve their own problems. I learned doing things for others they should be doing for themselves was not loving, it was enabling. I began learning about setting healthy boundaries, and I learned self-care and new ways to handle my stress. The most eye-opening thing for me, the codependent, was principle number one: realize I'm not God. I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. Imagine that. I'm not God. God doesn't need me, but I need him. I realized my arrogance and pride in trying to be God because I never trusted he could love me enough. I learned that control is not love, it's insecurity. I learned that worry is the opposite of trust, and I'm learning to trust God. When I gave my inventory to my sponsor, I realized I'd been codependent even as a child. Trying to protect my dad from stress and unpleasantness was the beginning. Protecting other family members from punishment by taking over their responsibilities or trying to keep them out of trouble was codependent behavior. When I came to amends and forgiveness in my step study, I was able to recognize that my parents had their own hurts, and they did the best they knew how. I was able to forgive my dad for his harshness and forgive my mom for her failure to protect us as children. I had to work through some remorse and regret as I examined my critical words toward my husband and daughters and my need for them to fuel my ego. I've made amends for the ways I had disciplined my children in harsh ways, failing to teach them God's love. I'd spent too much time meddling in others' affairs and not taking care of my own. I learned the most loving thing I could do for my alcoholic daughter was to allow her to suffer the consequences of her own actions and let her clean up her own messes. It wasn't until I said, "Enough, you are on your own," that she began to make progress. I had to come to a point where I said to myself that I can't stop her from killing herself if she's determined. I had to give her over to God and trust He knew best. She's now sober, working in a relationship, and caring for her own children as a mom. Whew. I'm now learning to take care of me. I sleep better at night and I manage my stress in healthier ways, well, most of the time. I've added healthy eating to my program because I no longer feel a need to punish myself for my lack of perfection. After I finished my fourth step and gave my inventory, I realized I no longer had nightmares about not knowing the right answer or doing something wrong. I have relationships with healthy women in my life, and my marriage has grown richer. I'm very fortunate to have other family members and friends who understand and encourage me in my recovery. We are enjoying holidays and family gatherings together. I have loved seeing my daughters grow into mothers. I feel more at ease. The Lord has blessed me with an understanding husband, two forgiving daughters, and five grandchildren. I can now be a grandparent and not a parent to my grandchildren. I'm learning more about God in my quiet time. Through this time, I'm continuing on with my recovery. I've developed a new hunger for God's word. Scriptures I learned in the past are coming to me in meaningful ways. I am learning to work on one small character defect at a time. Right now, the Holy Spirit is helping me deal with fear, and He is stretching me in ways I never imagined. Philippians 4:3, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has taught me about His grace. Romans 5:1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. It is my faith that brings me grace, not whether my house is perfect. There is nothing I can do to add to or take away from this grace. I've always loved God, but I'm learning to appreciate how much He loves me. He chose me. He died for me, and by grace He saved me. He sees me as whole and complete. I am worthy in His eyes." John 19:30 says of Jesus when He was hanging on the cross, and Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, He bowed His head and He died. It is finished. Jesus' death on the cross did it all. He was enough, and I am enough. Jesus was raised and went to heaven, and I know I'll be there with them someday. I've acknowledged I'm not God, and neither were my parents. Control is not God's way. God's ways are gentle and loving. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I have found a wonderful support system here at Celebrate Recovery with my sponsors, leaders, step studies, sisters, and all of you. I finally found my family, my peeps, my forever family. Not perfect people, but people who are on a journey to live a full and healthy life. I spent a lot of time in the beginning of CR circling around, afraid to get involved. If you're fairly new to CR, don't circle around too long. Life doesn't get any easier on your own. God made us to be in community with each other. We need each other. Take part in a small group, start sharing, sign up for a step study, and meet new friends by volunteering for a service opportunity. You will find hope and healing here. Thanks for letting me share.